Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
The band Dry Jacket brings to life nostalgic pop punk a la Transit, laced with the experimental whimsy from bands such as Circa Survive and Hail the Sun, and the lyrical thoughtfulness found almost exclusively in bands such as Death Cab for Cutie and the Britpop of Keane. I had the pleasure of sitting down with the bassist and vocalist of this band, Ian Foley, for this chat. Pick up their newest album, For Posterity, out on Hopeless Records now. This is episode 98 of Behind the Barricade with Kevin Pereira. Enjoy!
The drive home.
Ian, how are you this evening?
Good. How you doing?
Dude, it was midterms week at my school, so it's been a little bit stressful, but I'm so happy because I got a week off now.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah, man. Just a week to, you know, play drums, listen to music, relax, do homework. It could be better, but so let's talk about your new record, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm honestly a bit blown because it plays between what feels like honest 2000s pop punk and somewhere indie, you know, technical, a little less Circa Survive and a little more, I want to say Band of Horses-esque. Have you heard of Band of Horses?
Oh, yeah. I like that band a lot.
That's right. So let's talk about how you guys crafted that sound.
That's mostly Joe. Joe's like does the primary writing. He comes to us with usually like a series of riffs, and we all play through it as a band. I guess we like come up with like the format for the song, and then we usually just record it on a phone, and then Joe brings it back to his house and records the initial vocals over top of it, and then he'll just kind of every now and then just say to me like, "Hey, you want to sing the chorus for this one? I think it could use a chorus from you." So that's pretty much the system. But yeah, Joe, grew up listening to like Circa and Appleseed Cast, Death Cab.
You know, let's actually – you can actually bring Joe in, bring Joe into this conversation if you'd like, actually.
Joe, you want to come in here?
Yeah.
Say hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good, man. How's it going?
Good, good. You know it's going all right. So tell me about your musical influences. Obviously, you know, I heard a little bit of Death Cab, Circa, things like that, but – what was the process for you in coming up with this album?
I mean, the process of coming up with it, I mean, really, it's just kind of just sitting down and playing, you know, in my room or in the basement, and just writing riffs. And I use, like, a loop station pedal, so that helps a lot, too.
Right.
You know, just, like, looping riffs over and over and then maybe writing on top of it. Or you can, like, test out different, like, vocal melodies when you have the riff just looping over. So that's usually about that. I'll try to write, like, maybe, like, four or five riffs in the same key. That way it'd be enough to, like, structure a song out of it and like, bring it to the rest of the guys. We usually try to, you know, tweak it here and see what goes where and try to craft it into a song.
Naturally. Naturally. And you guys are actually promoted this – you guys promoted the upcoming, at least when it was upcoming, when you, this album when you guys were touring with Yellow Card on their farewell tour. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, okay. And that was a huge help for the, you know, for the record's been doing pretty well. Like we're all really happy with the way that with how it's being received, and a lot of that is thanks to that Yellow Card tour. And you know, we got a lot of pre-orders out of that Yellow Card tour, and that it really was like a nice jump start for us.
Yeah, I'd imagine. You guys are a relatively young band, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess we're getting close to 3 years now.
Yeah, this is our third year.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that follows into my next question. As a band that is, again, rather junior, relatively speaking, to, you know, staples such as, you know, Ryan Key's, you know, blend of pop punk delivered with violins and all sorts of fun hooks, how did you guys get on that tour? How did you get, like, what did it take to end up touring with one of the biggest pop punk acts of the 2000s?
Well, that was just because of being on Hopeless, and it was kind of just like Hopeless was given the option to like to pick the opening band for that tour, so we lucked out and they picked us, thank God. I don't know, yeah, and it's also being a new band, we were probably like. I don't know, like, it was an easy kind of choice for them, you know, like, we have this record coming out, and they were probably like, hey, this is probably going to be a great opportunity for this record to, you know, get a nice boost.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't think that there was really anything else to it, and the guys from Yellow Card were like, yeah, like, we obviously heard you guys before, and, you know, we thought you were good, so that was it. Really wasn't that much to it. It really just came down to the Hopeless connection.
Being in the right place at the right time, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
And going back to that, tell me about the timeline between when you guys started as a band. What was the catalyst that brought you all together, and what signed you to Hopeless in the first place?
Well, kind of the way it went was... we all played in bands previous to this. The only one that I would say was out of our circle, really, like the key component was kind of Joe, where Brad and I played in a pop punk band from when we were like I don't know. Brad was in fifth grade when we started, so really it was just like one of those kinds of deals. So we just played locally for years. And then Adam was in a band called Hartwell with Brad's older brother. My and Brad's band, like, split up. I went off to college. And then, you know, some years passed. I was probably, like, a couple months away from graduation, and Brad met up with Joe through an ex-girlfriend, and they started hanging out. And Brad really liked the stuff Joe was writing, and then he sent it to me at school and was like, hey, I'm going to start playing music with this kid. Like, what do you think? Do you want to come do it? And I'm like, yeah, definitely. So they played a couple times together. And then I came and, I think when just the three of us got together and started playing, it just kind of worked out. And we had played with a different drummer for literally, I think it was like maybe two or three times, who wasn't necessarily interested. And we just really wanted to hit the ground running. So we contacted Adam because we already knew he, was pretty professional about it. And he played with bands that had done it before. So we hit him up and that happened. And then really, Dry Jacket played, I think it was like six shows, before like we started talking to Hopeless and figuring all that stuff out. We were lucky enough to have a connection with Joe Morrow from the early November, who's just a local guy and he's like a friend of ours. And Brad showed it to him and he's like, yeah, I'll shop it out for you guys, and if someone picks it up, I'll be your manager. And like, that was it. Just all happened really quickly.
Wow. No kidding. No, but that's pretty great. And also, it's a recurring theme, I think, that it's always hard to find a good drummer. Always hard to find that permanent fit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess, like, the real thing with bands is it's hard to find people that, like, really understand the business of it and are willing to take it, like, seriously. Like, you find, like, a lot of, like, jokes on the internet, like, if you follow, like, the hard times and stuff like that.
I do.
There's a lot of people that...
For our listeners, yeah, like the hard
like,
times
like
is
drummer can't make gig because he forgets to request off at work, like that kind of thing.
Or the drummer can't attend because he's got plans with his girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Or other band or whatever the case. But for us, I think when we contacted Adam and just... the band in general, we just had a lot of conversations sitting down and deciding, like, this was definitely what we wanted to do. And a lot of times that's where bands starting out run into problems, is deciding, like, what your commitment level is to it.
I see. More to the point, what have you identified within, you know, being in Dry Jacket so far as the hardest thing about just being on the scene? What is the better way to phrase that question is, what is a difficulty that you guys collectively have encountered and have acknowledged as the most, you know, difficult thing to get over?
I guess for us, because we're like a really new band, and the level that we're at, we never really had a chance to like tour around before signing and like establish connections and everything like that. So for us, like we just want to be on the road as much as possible. And sometimes we have some trouble doing that. Just like, you know, getting tours to come together and things like that.
And finding time, I'd imagine.
I don't know. I guess we just haven't gotten in with I feel like a lot of bands come up with other bands and they have like kind of a group that they'll go on, they'll tour with regularly, or they'll meet up with and play. And
yeah.
Whatever. We don't really have that. We're kind of still looking for our like group, I guess.
Well, hopefully at least hopefully after this, you know, after we finish talking, you know, that becomes a little bit easier to find. In the New Jersey, you guys are based out of the New Jersey area, I understand.
Yeah.
Most definitely, yeah, the New York and New Jersey scene is very good, very prolific for playing the kind of music that you guys export.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we really enjoy is, we still have no problem, like, we'll play house shows and things like that, like, we play in basements, and we've got to, like, meet a bunch of bands that, you know, are coming up right now, and it's really cool to like play those kinds of shows in basements and just get to like talk to people and, you know, have like a regular casual interaction with these other bands. And I guess people going to these like college shows, like we played it at Rutgers and, we're playing in, at Ramapo in April.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right, so now let's talk about your plans as for what you guys are going to be doing as 2017 progresses, right? So with the release of For Posterity already planned, what's your next move after that? Do you already know?
Honestly, no. We're leaving. We're going to Europe with the early November in a couple days. We leave on the 16th, I believe. And we are we have like shows from the 17th to the 23rd around the UK.
Oh, wow.
But after that, and after the show in April, we actually don't have anything planned yet.
We do have a new music video that'll be coming out hopefully by the end of this month or so. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good, actually.
That's a big one.
We recently did a music video for our song Patron Without Funds. It's like second to last track on the album.
Yeah, I saw it.
And then, so hopefully that'll be coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe by the end of the month or so.
I got you. But
that's something.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, so you guys, you guys haven't been around long, and already, of course, you've already gone on a tour with Yellow Card, and now you're already starting the international circuit. So let's talk about your guys' life on the road and how that's, been, so far, right? Generally, bands in the, generally people, just get, a van loaded up with their equipment, crash in the back of it, and then go. The bigger bands, they have RVs and stuff, and they have everything already loaded and sorted out for them. What was it like for you guys going on something as big as this?
Ours is definitely the throw our stuff in the back of a van and go kind of deal.
Awesome.
We try to like be as like cost efficient as possible, I guess. So usually we end up sleeping in the van in Walmart parking lots or in like rest stops and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
One person sits in the passenger seat. We have two benches, two people sleep on that. And then we have like, if you sleep on top of the gear, we call that the nook. We're who's sleeping in the nook tonight?
Draws.
Actually, yeah, we recently, before we would like get little pieces of paper and stick them in like Brad's hat usually and like just like bounce them around and someone would stick their hand in, but we found like an app on someone's phone that we can just now like you press it and it just randomly draws to make. Oh, we tried rock, paper, scissors too and decided that there's some skill involved in that, so it needed to be completely random.
aside from being cost efficient, tell me more about this. What do you guys have, music that you listen to, that particular artists that you like to listen to for your road road trips, things like that? Do you guys have food usually like brought with you when you, or do you guys just eat McDonald's and stuff like that? I know it's a really I know it sounds like a really dead question, but that's also something that I consider pretty important, because as hectic as a lifestyle on the road can be, it's important to keep yourselves in balance, keep your psyche together.
Well, we listen to a lot of different stuff while we're in there, because I don't know, it really changes. Like I play some really weird stuff while I'm in there. I really like, well, my go-tos, like everyone knows when I'm driving, because you'll hear like, I love Maritime and the Promise Ring, so I always play that stuff. But like, for instance, we were driving home the other night from wherever, and I was like playing like Smashing Pumpkins.
Good choice.
And I don't think everybody liked it, but whoever's driving usually just like picks the music. But we for the most part, like everything everyone plays. I think I'm the only one that throws in some wild card songs that I'm not sure that everyone's into. But we eat a lot of Taco Bell too. That's a big thing.
No, Taco Bell is good, man. Taco Bell is actually recently they started moving in like a much healthier direction, so it's no longer like, the gordita pack chalupa or whatever they called it back then.
They definitely, even before they did that, we were still eating Taco Bell, whether it was healthy or not, and there was a notable difference with it. But we're actually sponsored by Taco Bell's Feed the Beat. So while we were on the Yellow Card tour, we had like $500 worth of like Feed the Beat Taco Bell gift cards.
That's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, but each of them have like $5 on it. So like we would go in and like hand them a bunch of cards and they're like, who are you guys? Like, why did you steal? Like, they would think we like stole them or something. It was like, it was really funny.
Yeah, I remember Taco Bell's Feed the Beat program, at least hearing about it, when the Color Morale, hardcore from Illinois, right? When they went on tour and they would and they would, you know, take photos of themselves doing, you know, stupid shit with tacos in their hands and stuff like that, and just and otherwise just, you know, raving about how good it was to have. Do what you gotta do, right? Hold up a second. I think there was a small problem with my audio, but testing, testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. I think it's good now. Nice. To reiterate to our listeners before the cutout, Dry Jacket is sponsored by Feed the Beat, a program funded by Taco Bell, which you know, helps musicians out on the road by giving them money to go ahead and, you know, get food for themselves on tour. All right, so I mean, otherwise, let's talk about, you know, highlights of the album that you guys have streamed so far. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of Spelling Era.
Nice.
Yeah. I love the drumming. I love how how it starts off in this, you know, this jumpy, nuanced, you know, cymbal, you know, cymbals, and then, you know, playing back between the toms and snares, and your and the guitar and bass especially, you know, like it noodles back and forth, and it's, while it feels like a straightforward song, it does kind of keep me on my toes, you know, asking where's the rhythm going to be, where's the turn.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's like one of the band favorites to play and on the record, because there is a lot of stuff that happens in that one. It's like, it you know, it has nice melodies to it, but at the same time there's a lot of like underlying stuff that's happening, I guess.
Yeah. And you said that and your songwriter in charge of this, he already listens to plenty of Circa, you know, plenty of, you know, enough, you know, weird experimental proggy, almost things like that. So that would have played a large part. Have you guys heard of the band Hail the Sun?
No.
Well, you're missing out. They actually have, they draw a very stark parallel to your music in a lot of ways. So I'd recommend checking them out.
What are they called?
It's called Hail the Sun. It's Donovan Molero, Shane Gann as the guitar player and the drummer / vocalist, and they, among a pair of other musicians, they are based in California.
Cool. Definitely look into that.
Absolutely. If you like Circa, if you like you know, bands that again have that, you know, weird turning on the tip of a coin rhythm, you will love that. But in the meantime, yeah, you guys seem like you're kind of living the dream right now, and it's kind of fantastic.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. It has been cool to see it like progress. Like, the more we're out on the road, the more we you know, we see people, you know, reacting to it and singing along, and it just, like, almost every show we play is just like a little bit better than the next one.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't say we're necessarily like living the dream yet. Like, we all still have, you know, like our like real people jobs, and I think it would be nice to one day to not have to do that, to have our like our real jobs and everything, but
right,
you know, just playing music. I think we're all on the same page that we have enough fun and whatever, that we just want to keep doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I should have probably been more careful in my phrasing. I was actually just talking to another band, City Under Siege, about this, you know, the, you know, nuances between, you know, having a day job and playing in a band, and, you know, where where you'd like a line to stop both be fun and for income purposes.
It's definitely like a commitment. You know, Brad works in an office job and like a medical billing facility, and Joe does tax appraisal.
I
something.
See. Oh, nice.
Adam was actually a teacher at the high school that Brad, Adam, and I went to. He was there for a year and then left once we signed. So, you know, everyone kind of had jobs that they were comfortable in and things like that. And still have, you know, we come back from these things and everyone just goes straight back to work, and we text each other and we're like, oh man, this is awful. Like, I wish we were just back on the road.
And you didn't actually mention what you did. What is it that you do?
Well, I'm actually a substitute teacher also at the high school that that Adam, Brad, and I went to.
No kidding.
I went to school for advertising, and then just, you know, the band stuff happened like right at graduation, so I was like, jobs, whatever.
I gotcha. No, but that's still pretty cool. Not only to, you know, have some sense of security at least, and also to have that longing for the road.
Yeah.
I wish you guys nothing but the best, really.
Thanks, man.
And I can't wait to pick up a copy of the album when it's out, if it's not out already.
It's out.
It's out?
It came out January 13th. Yeah.
Wow.
Friday the 13th.
Wow. Where have I been? I don't know. It's, well, regardless, hopefully we'll be in touch with you guys again. As we begin to wind down, firstly, is there anything you'd like to plug to our listeners?
No, not really. Oh yeah, the video. We don't know when that's coming out, actually. We put out an acoustic video yesterday. It's just Joe playing the first track on the record, Wicker Couch.
Okay. All right.
So that just came out, so check that out if you haven't seen it yet. And then we have the video coming out for Patreon Without Funds really soon, so just keep an eye out for that as well.
Okay. And where can people just find you in general? That's my question.
Well, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, wherever. Google Dry Jacket and you will find us.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
that brings me to, I gotta ask, where'd you guys come up with Dry Jacket?
Oh, yeah. Dry Jacket came from Back to the Future 2. Like, there's a self-drying jacket in it, and there's, like, a little scene where he is on his hoverboard, and he, like, falls into, like, a little, I don't know, like, pond, man-made pond kind of deal. Fountains, there we go, fountain. And, he comes out and he's all wet, and then you see the jacket like dry itself. You're like a fan gone, and it's like, your jacket is now dry. And we were like, Joe was like, yeah, it's a cool band name.
Dry jacket.
The funny thing is, if you YouTube like Back to the Future 2, like self drying jacket or something like that, like it literally has that scene isolated. So if you have any questions, if you're still thinking like, what is this scene? You can look it up and find exactly that scene.
Okay. I think I know what I'll do after we finish our talk. Because I've never actually seen any of the Back to the Future movies either.
Oh, really? That's
yeah. I don't know. Like, I've missed out on so much, Ian.
Yeah, Joe's a big fan.
All right. So to our listeners, again, to reiterate, you can find Dry Jacket on Twitter, Facebook. If you look up Dry Jacket, you're going to find them. And again,
a bunch of jackets.
That's right. And a bunch of jackets and or a clip of Back to the Future. So you can follow me on Twitter at Grand Theft Academia, at GRNDTHFTACDMIA, and follow me on Facebook, Instagram at Pereira.K. Thank you guys for tuning in. Ian, thank you so much and have a good night.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Kevin.
Take it easy.
Take care.
Bye.